Well, good morning, everyone. Very welcome along another morning, another Wednesday morning, the 19th of August, to this wee devotional from Valley Baptist Church. And thanks again for taking the time to join in with us. That's last week. Now we've kind of still been on holidays. We managed to get away a couple of days for our anniversary, actually. We headed off down to Warren Point. A lovely wee town just on the edge of the Mourns. Still, sadly, for people my age and older, still remembered for the atrocity a good number of years ago in 1979 when 18 soldiers were murdered by the IRA close to the town. And it's a very sad and despicable thing to be still hanging over any place. But it was just nice for us to get away. A couple of days, just to get away from the tasks, everyday tasks around the house that never really seemed to end. But we got back on the Wednesday evening, and on the Thursday then I went back to the job at the back of the house here, where we've been trying to tidy up, the rock face that we had to dig into, when the house was built. And on Friday, which was one of the warmest days of the week, my task for that day was putting down 2x2 slabs and behind the top of the wall and the rock base, so that whenever we do get the plants in, hopefully it will come to germination, so as we can get it, weed it and tend it too easily. And I'm just going to put up a wee picture of the slab so as you know what I'm talking about, because it must be a bit infuriating if you don't understand what I'm going on about. So there's just a wee picture coming up. So I had to put down a bed of cement for the slabs, and had a half ton of sand and stone mix left over from another job, probably last year. That had been stored up in one of the sheds up the farmyard for a few months, and amongst that mix, whenever I brought it down, there was some barley straw that had found its way into the bag from bedding the cattle. And I was about to lift it out when I thought to myself, well, the straw is not going to do a pan of harm and affect the bantam, it'll make it stronger. And of course, there's many places still throughout the world today that would use straw and bricks. So as a practice that would still go on today. But anyway, that's made me think of the Book of Exodus, where the Israelites were at that time living in Egypt under the authority of a king that knew not Joseph. In chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." The authority that Joseph had in Egypt, and the respect that the Pharaoh of his time had for him, was now only a distant memory. Some 200 years or so had passed until the time of this new king. For him, the Israelites were only a perceived threat to his nation, because during the time, the Israelites, during their time in Egypt, they had grown stronger numerically, and so much so that not only did the king put them to hard labour, but he also tried to stop their growth by ordering the infant side of all the male Israelite babies. Moses, of course, was saved from this, and you're all familiar with that account of the bulrushes, his flight to Midian and the burning bush, and then how God calls and equips Moses and his return to Egypt. And in chapter 5 then, we read of how Moses and Aaron went into the king of Egypt and asked that he let the Israelites go to offer sacrifice to God, a request that was, of course, refused. And we read of what then happened to the Israelite people. I'm just going to read from Exodus chapter 5, verses 6 to 21. "And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, 'Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, Let us go and sacrifice to your God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may not labour therein, and let them not regard vain words. And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where ye can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, Fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten, and demanded, Wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today, as heretofore? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants, and they say to us, Make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. But he said, ye are idle, therefore ye say, Let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the tale of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, after it was said, Ye shall not manage aught from your bricks of your daily task. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way, as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto him, The Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savour to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his inspired word. But I would say, straw in my bag of sand that brought this portion of God's word to my mind, and just maybe the hard labour that I felt I was enduring in the heat of last Friday, as the saying goes, I didn't need to drop to sleep that night after laying the slabs. But for the Israelites, their life was one of servitude to the Egyptians. Their daily lives were bitter with hard bondage and mortar and a brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All the service wherein they made them serve was with rigour, chapter 1 and verse 14. This was for them normal everyday life, but for this people the normal life was about to get a whole lot harder. To coin a recent phrase that we've become accustomed to, there was going to be a new normal. That new way was going to be an even harder way than they were already accustomed to. For Pharaoh now decreed that one vital ingredient that the bricks that they were tasked with making would no longer be supplied for the mix, namely the barley straw. These bricks mustn't have been fired in kilns, they must have been air dried, and that was why they needed the straw to bind them together. That's what kept them from falling apart. They couldn't do without this straw. But suddenly here, after Moses steps onto the scene at God's command, life was going to be a whole lot more difficult. And from verses 11 and 12, we can learn that it would seem the grain harvest was over. The straw had already been gathered, and all that was left in the fields was the stubble. And being from a farming background, I'm very familiar with what the stubble would look like. Hardly any of the stalk left at all, maybe 3 or 4 inches of it. It would be greener, it wouldn't be nice dried stuff, and it would be almost impossible. In fact, it would be impossible to gather in any great quantities. So not only was the straw harvest already in, but any good planner, and we know the Egyptians must have been good planners, they would have had those stockpiles of the straw placed where they needed them, beside where they were going to make the bricks. And the people, the Israelites, would have had to walk past these stockpiles as they were scattered throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And how how they must have felt. These people were sorely afflicted in their labour and in their punishments, for they were beaten because the tail of bricks had not been filled. Appeals to Pharaoh himself went unheeded, and it seemed that the new normal was going to be a hard and impossible road. And in the midst of this virus situation, it seems to be the done thing to complain, to become maybe downcast, a bit despondent about the whole issue, to appeal to the government for help. Things seem at times to go from bad to worse, and just when the lockdown's starting to ease, the numbers seem to be starting to rise again. And we can't, just like the Israelites did under the authority of Pharaoh, despair as to the days ahead. And I can understand those questions and those fears and the doubts. We're all human and subject to the frailty of all that that entails. But we all know this, the end of this account of the sojourn in Egypt. Behind it all, God. Planned by God, fulfilled by God, part of God's divine plan of redemption, and such an important lesson for us from God's word, how the plagues and finally the blood sprinkled on the lintels that points us to our salvation by the shed blood of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. When I see the blood, I will pass over thee. The Israelites at this stage of the bricks had no idea of how they would soon be delivered. But verse 1 of chapter 6 says this: "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. The great I Am was then, and is still now, working out his divine purposes. Our Saviour has now come. Jesus, God's own Son, has fulfilled the plan of redemption. The way has been opened up unto mankind for the salvation of their souls. Christ has ascended to be with God, the Father at his right hand, and is coming again, whether we see it physically here in the blink of an eye or whether the Lord already has taken us home. God's plans are still being worked out perfectly as they were in the days of the Israelites' afflictions." So don't lose sight in these days that God is still in control, that his ways are not our ways, for they are higher and they are perfect, and they are beyond our comprehension. So keep on looking upwards, and as Nigel so challenged us there on Sunday morning, keep that fire burning for our love of the Saviour and God, and for each other in these times. God in his appointed time will show us what he will do. What's the purpose of all this? Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Believe that the script is written, that the plan is being fulfilled, and that the day of our redemption draws nigh. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4 says, "He is a rock, his way is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that thou art in control of all things. And Father, we confess that at times we struggle to see thy plan, Lord, and to understand thy plan. But Father, help us to realise that thy plan is perfect, that thy ways are perfect, that thou art perfect. And Father, we thank you for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfect, Lord, and yet took upon himself our sins, that we might know the forgiveness of them through him and through his finished work at Calvary. Help us, Lord, never to lose sight of that. Help us, Lord, to realise that thou art ever with us, that thou will never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, times may become hard from what we're used to, Lord. But Father, help us to remember that thou art always and ever in control of it all. Lord, we commit ourselves to thee this day We ask that you'll bless and guide and keep us. Bless again all those who are still in the medical profession and having to deal with this virus from day by day. Be with them, protect them and their families, and keep them all safe, we pray, as thou hast done thus far for those in the fellowship. And Father, we pray for all those who are laid aside with illness, all those who have been bereaved, Lord, and who are really suffering and despondent this day. Father, might thou be their portion, and might thou lift their heads this day. So Father, we commit ourselves to thee, asking that thou wilt bless us, and that we will bless thy name, for all thou hast done for us through thy Son, the Lord Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you, folks.